Mercies in disguise. What if our greatest disappointments or the aching of our hearts is the revealing of a thirst this world can't satisfy? You know, Christianity is not a one-size-fits-all. Each of us has been called to run a race, according to Hebrews 12, our own race, our own journey. And it's sometimes a sprint and sometimes it's a marathon. But where are our eyes to be? They're to be on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We love the author part because that's usually the beginning part, and we're so in love. We've come to know him. And then this, the perfecter part, or the finishing of our faith, that sometimes causes us to twist and turn in heart because of the things that we have to go through. But they are his mercies in disguise. If they will draw us to himself, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. He's often the God of the unexplained, and we can't explain everything that happens, but we trust. Let's open again, please, our hearts to him. Father, we thank you. We thank you for speaking to us in song. Thank you that you've put a song in our hearts. At night, in the nighttime, and also in the wonderful daytime. But thank you for your song. And thank you now for our time together. Thank you for these ladies. Thank you for these dear ones who've come. And, oh, Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts that word that you have laid on my heart. And, Lord, we pray that you would bless it. And may your presence be in this room. You've promised it, so it's silly for me to pray that. Where two or three are gathered in your name, you are in the midst. So thank you for being here again. We want you to know how we revere you and how we love you. For we pray it and praise you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. When I would like to talk and speak this morning on a message that has really been meaningful in my life. I read the book. It's called The Pleasures of God by John Piper. And it's a wonderful book. And it got me thinking of the pleasures of God. And so I chose this morning to speak on the delight of God. The delight of God. When was the last time you were truly delighted? I'm talking sheer delight. We know that emotion of joy. And the feeling of joy that comes over us when someone or something brings us pleasure. But when, and thank you, Susan, I've been on this diet. And it's a protein and vegetable diet. And it makes me so dry in mouth. And then put me in front of some people and I'm a little drier. Thank you, Susan. It's the sheer joy that comes when someone or something brings us pleasure. So, for you, when was the last time? Could it have been when you walked in this morning and all of a sudden you saw a special friend that you hadn't seen for a while and your heart just kind of leaped? Wow, it's so good to see you. You had delight. Or perhaps when you recently held your child, if they're small enough, or hugged them, if they're bigger, or your grandchild, and you can't explain it. You just felt that delight. Or perhaps when you walked outside, it's been beautiful, hasn't it? And you just smelled the outside air, and you're watching your flowers bloom, and the weather has been beautiful, and we say, oh, it's just delightful. Perhaps it was the delightful time you always have with certain friends. You know, you can get some friends together, and you always want to either laugh or you just have a good time. It's just filled with delight. How do you describe the emotion of delight? Is it an emotion? It is an emotion of the heart, so it's quite hard to describe. So, knowing that I didn't know how, really, because I'm such a feely person, I know when I feel delight, and I'm sure you do too. So I went to dictionary.com, and I found a definition, and it's wonderful. It says, delight, a high degree of pleasure or enjoyment, joy or rapture. A high degree of pleasure or enjoyment or joy or rapture. I know some girls in here who probably get wonderful delight when they ride their horses. Or Jan. I know some people in here who just, it doesn't have to be a spiritual thing. It's just us. What I'm trying to say is we all have times of delight. So make the heart connection here with me. So when we think about it in terms of God as our delight, a God of such high degree of pleasure and joy and rapture that he speaks about it, ladies, over and over in his word. I didn't make this up in order to bring you a good, feel-good, cheery message this morning. It is there, all over the word of God. Yes, we know that God is holy, that God is love, that God is righteous, that God is just, that God even has fury and he's a God of wrath against Satan and his demons and evil. But do we know him as a God who finds the delight and enjoyment of his creation and his created ones, us? Do you really believe he could find pleasure in rapture in us? Do we picture God as a God of emotions? Now, I'm not speaking of the kind of emotions we have. Up, down, all around, sad, glad, whenever glad, you know, we're just kind of all over the place. I'm really not talking about feelings. I'm talking about the emotions. Do we think of God as a God who has a soul to laugh, to weep, to dance, to joy, to have righteous anger? Those are things that emote from our souls. Now, if God made us in his image, as the Bible teaches, our souls emote, why do we, when we picture God as a God of love, do we perhaps picture him as kind of steady and flat? Now, maybe this is just me, but through the years, yes, God is love. God is love. But do we pick, when you love someone, there's not, I love you, Diane. It's the God of love. He's a God of emotions. We see it through the word. You know, one of the first words that Jesus said, I hope we will hear, I pray we will hear, is that when we enter his presence, he will say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And usually we hear that, we go, oh yes, faithfulness. But then we never say the rest that Jesus said. You know it too, don't you? What is it? Enter into the joy of your master. Oh, I can't wait. I think heaven is so wonderful because when all of a sudden we cross that time our spirits leave our bodies and we're in heaven, it must be joy infinitum. He says, he could have said, enter into the love of your master. He could have said many things, but he said, enter into the joy of your master. I'm a God of pleasure. I'm a God of delight. I'm so glad you're here. I think, and this is just my opinion, that one reason we have difficulty in believing that God delights, especially in us, is that many times we feel so inadequate and so unworthy And we are. We are. And then you add to that, we look at others and we compare ourselves. Or we think about our past failures, perhaps things that we've never forgiven ourselves of. Or the emotional baggage of our childhood. Perhaps we never had a father who delighted in us. Perhaps we don't know what that's like on earth. And so we have a hard time thinking and dealing with God the Father delighting in us. Maybe you're in, or were in, or are in now an abusive situation. How could God delight in me? Oh yes, on the outward appearance, I can look nice, but what do we feel like in our hearts? Did you know, a thought came to me this morning about Jesus and Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was the blind man who Jesus, and he was at his most popular time, he was on his way to Jerusalem. And Bartimaeus was a blind man begging, and someone said, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And immediately Bartimaeus cried out, "Son of David," which meant Messiah. He didn't call him Jesus of Nazareth. He called him Messiah. And they said, "Be quiet. He doesn't have time for you." And he said, "Messiah." And Jesus stopped. And he went to Bartimaeus. And he said, "Bartimaeus, what would you have me to do?" And he said, I want my sight. And Jesus healed him on the spot. The name Bartimaeus means son of filth, son of the garbage. I would want that name. Bartimaeus had that name. And he was the only person in the New Testament that was ever called, whom Jesus healed, who was ever called by name. Bartimaeus, you have your sight. And he would do that for us. We are all Bartimaeuses. It doesn't matter if we grew up in the most wonderful Christian home or if we have grown up or come in from the streets. We are all unworthy servants. And yet it's those for Jesus who finds time to come and to bless and to heal. May I say, on the basis of God's word, not because I want it to be true, but because he says it in his word, he delights in you. The truth is more than a lovely thought, ladies. It's the very key to our deliverance from every battle that rages in our soul. It's the secret of entering into the rest that God has for us. Because without it, every perhaps mercy in disguise that comes our way, we're going to be going this way and this way and this way, and we're going to depend on our own mind and our own thinking. And yet if I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God loves me and that he delights in me, it's just the secret of abiding in Jesus. May I remind you, he gathered himself a people whom he could love, whom he could prosper, and he could protect if only they would obey his laws. But tragically, they returned to their own sin, idolatry, and lust. Over and over, we hear them in the Old Testament. You know, we hear people say the Old Testament's full of God's anger and wrath. How can he be a God? Hey, they haven't read the book of Deuteronomy. You haven't read the book of Hosea and the prophets. Because over and over, God says, I don't care about your sacrifice or your burnt offerings. We would say today, I don't care if you go to church. Well, I mean, he does, but you know what I'm saying. It's not the things you do. I care about a humble and a broken spirit. And I will not shove off anyone who has a spirit like that. And again in the New Testament, we see Jesus standing over Jerusalem. Yes, the same Jerusalem that's totally in the news today. Who knows what another year will bring forth? Jesus over Jerusalem. And the Bible says Jesus, the very Son of God, was weeping. I'd say there's some emotion there. Over Jerusalem. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that kills the prophets. How often I would have gathered you. Do you hear his emotion? Under my wings as little chickens. But you would not. And through the prophets, we hear that God, he calls himself a bridegroom, calling back to his adulterous bride. Come, I will love you. I will forgive you. I will have mercy upon you. Just read the book of Hosea. And then the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 62, you shall no longer be termed forsaken, and your land shall no longer be termed desolate. Forsaken and desolate does not sound like a good combination. But you, now listen to this. This is in the Bible. You shall be called, my delight is in her. And your land married. For the Lord delights in you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so our God rejoices over you. The Lord probably cannot think of a, I don't know, the Lord can and can't do that, was not a good question, but or statement. The Lord is using the analogy we know best, the bride and the bridegroom, and the sanctity of marriage to try to describe his relationship to us. I just love that. He could have said, you know, the slave and the master, or something else, my friends, my servants, and he does. There's places there he does. But he wants to engage us in a relationship of you're the bride. Now you're the bride. The church is the bride, he's also talking about. And I'm the bridegroom, and I love you, and I delight in you. And then, of course, I can't leave the Old Testament. I haven't even gotten to the subject yet we're getting to. Tucked away in the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. Ladies, let those words go into your heart. Forget about me right now. Just think. Do you really listen to those words? He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I guarantee you, those of you who have children, has taken every one of your children in your arms and done that exact same thing. And God delights, and he does it over us. Even when we're at our most unloveliness, he does. All that was to show you that this is God's word, and it's in the Bible, and it's there. And we can choose to accept it. We can choose to acknowledge it. We can choose to say yes, or we can just say, well, that was nice. I have a feeling we have a God who's eager for us this morning, because he really laid this on my heart. I am so last minute person. I have known about this for a couple months. I mean, I've known about speaking for a long time, but this is, I couldn't go anywhere else. So for some reason, I know he wants to speak to my heart. I think he must have a reason. He wants us to know in this gathering, he delights in you. Let's zero in on two areas of delight, because there's so many in the Bible. And the two I want to talk about this morning is the God of delight in his Son, and then delight in his creation, mainly us. The two times we hear from God the Father concerning his Son is that Jesus, well, he speaks of him in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, once Jesus was incarnated on earth, the two times are in Jesus' baptism and Jesus' transfiguration. And in Matthew, listen to God's words in Matthew 3:16. It says, as Jesus was baptized, he went out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and resting upon him. And a voice from heaven said, this is the Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And again, when Peter, James, and John went to the high mountain, and all of a sudden they were all consumed about other things, seeing Moses and Elijah, and all of a sudden the Bible says, a bright cloud enveloped Jesus and the disciples. The disciples hit the ground. And Jesus, by the way, went to them. He didn't keep them on the ground. He said, don't be afraid. And he touched them, the Bible says. But all they saw was a bright cloud and then a voice from heaven saying, you know these verses too, but have you thought of them? This is the Son whom I love, in whom, it's translated, is all my delight. Listen to him. On these two occasions, it's like the Father is so full of love and delight in his Son that he comes through, he breaks through the clouds. He's got to bellow the message, here is my Son. I love him. Mamma mia. Talk about emotion. I think sometimes we've heard these things so much, I used to teach children how to read. And once they got the phonological and all the reading, you know, things done, I'd say, now let's read with expression. And if they had their book and they read, Sally ran with Tim. Tim, I am so glad to see you. Stop. Now, if you're glad to see somebody, are you going to say, Sally ran with Tim. Tim, I am so glad to see you. No. But, you know, sometimes I think we read our Bibles expressionless. We have a saying around here at the chapel. Dr. Jeff Johnson says, you know it, we think of it, say it often. We read our Bibles too fast. And sometimes we just need to slow down and take it phrase by phrase. Well, I want to add a Larson addendum to that. We lead our Bible sometimes emotionless. I do it. I sit down in my quiet time and I open my Bible. And, you know, I read these things. And all of a sudden, I don't get caught up in the emotion. I think this is one of the reasons that the Jesus film and the book of Matthew that's on and other films, the Passion. I never watched the Passion. I can't. I'm a chicken. I know I am. I just can't emotionally, I don't think. But that's why people flock to these things and are so moved, because they see the actors playing the part of Jesus or his disciples just like it, we don't know if it's just like it was, but in human form. There are people in the jungles who are watching the Jesus film or in Uncivilized Lands. And even though they can't understand it, what they're doing, it's not in their language, they're watching it happen. And word comes that when they get to Jesus on the cross, the people, they just weep. And then when they get to Jesus' resurrection, they're cheering. Oh, the emotion of it. The emotion of God. The love that the Father has between himself and the Son, it didn't happen just when he came to earth. It happened. He loved him before all creation. Listen to these words. In John 17, it's the last recorded prayer of Jesus before he went to the cross. In verse 24, he said, Father, you loved me. before the foundation of the earth. Listen to what the scripture says about the Son creating the universe. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now the Word is Jesus, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything that was made that was made. Jesus was the creator. Oh, he wasn't born on December 25th? Oh. He was for the Father from the foundation of the world. In fact, in Proverbs, he's even more specific about God's wisdom, which is personified in his Son. He says this, when God established the heavens, I, wisdom, speaking of Jesus, was there. Beside him, like a master workman, I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always. What an amazing picture. I think this comes from John Piper's book. The Son of God, the Father's delight, as he rejoiced with the Father in the awesome work of making a million worlds. Oh, wouldn't it be? This is another thought way somewhere else. But isn't it amazing? Jesus was born in a home of a carpenter. Have you ever played with your children? I know you have, or grandchildren, and had a tickling match, you know, or you're doing something and it's just pure pleasure we spoke of earlier. Pleasure. Make a connection with me here. Jesus said, I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always. This past Christmas, right here, I gave a Christmas story, it is my favorite all-time Christmas story, to some children in our church. And it's called Out of the Ivory Palaces. And it's about Pax and Ariel. And they're two fictitious little angels. And they are chosen to be the ones, along with the other myriads of angels, to come down and to tell the shepherds the good news of Christ's birth. And the last part of the story goes, as they're gathered before God the Father, the angels together, and all of a sudden, there's a gasp. The throne is empty. And they realize he's gone. And Ariel says, Pax, he's gone. Jesus is gone. The Son is gone. And the last words were, oh, how the people on earth will love to have him. And then he says, and the Father will miss him so much. And a tear fell from the littlest angel. The story doesn't end there, ladies. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever, that's us, whosoever shall believe should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 8:32, for he who spared not his own Son, but delivered him, the Greek word here is threw him away, he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? How can we ever doubt? Ladies, do you know him? I mean, do you really know him? Not know about him. Know him. It's not a religious idea. It's not somebody you learn about on Sunday and then you go home and he's relegated to kind of a corner in your life and then you go back on Sunday. No, he's a person. Do you open the Bible for yourself and read each day to find out His Word for you? And if you say, I don't understand it, please, if it's the King James Version, just put it away. I don't mean to offend anyone. Just put it to the side. You can come back to it. Find a version like the New International, the New English Bible, some of these, American Standard Version, wonderful versions of the Bible that is easier to understand. So if this is kind of new to you, I would say maybe that's a recourse you could take because it's all there. It's there. You may say, oh, I know Him as Savior, but I don't want to get too radical about this now. We don't want to get too... Jonathan Edwards has a wonderful quote, and it spoke to my heart because this is how it was with me. When I received Christ as a child, I did it so I wouldn't have to go to hell. And there's nothing wrong with that because I didn't want to go to hell. But then I began to grow, and then I began to grow. And this is true. Listen to this. The more a true saint loves God with a gracious love, the more he desires to love Him and the more uneasy he is at his lack of love to Him. The more he hates sin, the more he desires to hate it and laments that he has so much remaining love to it. The more he mourns for sin, the more his heart is broken. The more he desires that it should be broken. The more he thirsts and longs after God and holiness, the more he longs to long and breathe out his very soul in longings after God. Oh, may this be the longings of our hearts to get to know His Son. I just couldn't talk about the delight of God without talking about God the Father's delight in His Son. Because worshiping is agreeing together on the beauty of God's Son. And oh, may He give us a heart of worship where we forget about ourselves, the old song goes, and concentrate on Him and worship Him. Worshiping that sometimes it varies, but may we worship Him. It doesn't always have to take your breath away. Sometimes it will. But it's more than I praise You. Or I love, you know, it's y'all, let's let our emotions, just as Carmi did this morning, let our emotions out in praise and love to Him. I often think of, if you watch a Duke or Carolina game, I know it's the time of the year, or State or whoever, we don't sit there like this. You've seen those fans. You've probably been one of them. Yes, yes. Oh, no. Yes. Why, when it comes to the Almighty God who's even said, shout before me. David leaped and he danced before Him. So many times we're so afraid to lose a little control with God. But there is its place. But, oh, in our expression to Him, oh, the joy of just loving Him and worshiping Him. And now, the second part, God delights in His Son, and God delights in His creation, me, you. What did we say delight means? As a good teacher, let's review a little bit here. It means a high degree of pleasure or enjoyment, joy or rapture. Can some of our responses cause the heart of God to delight? And He says, yes, they can. And He tells us of several in His Word, and we're going to look at four. And the first one is in Psalm 147, verse 10. His pleasure is not in the strength of a horse, nor in the legs of man. The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love. His unfailing love. I put my hope in Him, in a love that cannot fail, when everything around me is swirling. And He delights in that. I don't put my hope in my good works. I don't put my hope in how nice I am or have been. I don't put my hope in past successes. I don't put my hope in my appearance or what others think about me. My hope is in my Father, who is unfailing in His love for me. He cannot fail me. His word says it. He cannot fail me. Ladies, you are the Father's princesses. You belong to the King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Hosts. That makes you a princess. And I say that. You are a child of the King. Listen to this quote. It's by Sarita Ann Jakes. Listen to this. A princess doesn't need to go to the mirror and ask, who's the fairest of us all? She understands that her worth is defended by all the soldiers in her Father's army. She doesn't need to feel like the most beautiful or the most talented in the land. She knows her value is not based on her own performance, but is based on who her Father is. Her value is inherited and unconditional. Although she can change what she does, nothing can change who she is. The precious child of a King. That's you. That's me. And it's so sad because we go down this way and this way and this way and this way. And we try to fill that void, that insecurity in our heart. When all we need to do is just give up and put our unfailing trust in His love for us. Probably the most famous philosopher in the 20th century, Jean-Paul Sartre. I practice pronouncing this French name. I think it's Sartre. Lauren, do you know French? Anyone know French? Sartre. It's S-A-T-R-E. And my sister said they always leave off the end. So I don't know. We'll see. Jean-Paul. He was also an atheist. And a month before he died, he is quoted as saying that he was so strongly resisted the feelings of despair that he would say to himself, I know I shall die in hope. Then in profound sadness, he said, but hope needs a foundation. There is no other foundation. When we come to that last breath, whether the Lord takes us as a thief in the night or we linger, but when we come to the end, the only foundation in our lives that matters is if we have known Jesus Christ and His Son. And I would say to you today, if there's any doubt, we've all had to come to that point where we have to have the assurance. If there's any doubt, that if you would die today, you would not go into God's presence. I pray that you would make sure today. And all of it is, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake. And then you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And you can begin to grow and begin to long after these things we're talking of. My hope is in His unfailing love, and He delights in a child that will believe it and claim it. Claim it. The second response that it says that is His delight is our prayers. Proverbs 15:8. The prayer of the upright is His delight. There it is again. Our prayers serve as a fragrance before God, a sweet-smelling fragrance. And sometimes when we don't even feel that our prayers are even hitting the ceiling, because there we go, feel. Listen, when next time you get down to pray, anytime, and you probably pray many times a day, your prayers are like a sweet fragrance. The Lord says that several times through His Word. Now, I cannot wear perfume because of skin allergies, but I love, even more than women's perfume, I love men's cologne. Oh. When it's not too strong, you know, I just love it. If I pass, I'm not around too many men, but when I pass men in the chapel and they have some cologne on, this is I found myself. This is literally what I do. And I've done it at the mall too. And sometimes I'll ask them, what cologne are you using? I love it. I'm not proud. And I'll buy my son some. I love cologne. And that's the picture. This is God the Father going, Jan's on her knees praying. There's Laura in Zambia, Africa. She's praying. Picture it. It's there. The burnt offerings in Leviticus, they had a special fragrance they would make as they ascended into the Holy of Holies, into the throne of God. It's our prayers are like a sweet fragrance. Now, ladies, please, whenever you mention somebody's prayer life, we all go, oh, it's not what it should be. Don't be disheartened. Don't let the accuser of the brethren, the evil one, discourage you, because it's not like, say, the great John Hyde or who was that missionary story? Mueller, thank you. George Mueller. Worship him in prayer. Listen to him. It's not just talking. Sometimes it's being, be still and know that I am God. Listen for his word to you. Cry before him. Read the promises of God back to him. If you don't know what to say, take your Bibles, open them to Philippians 1, Ephesians 1, Colossians 1. Wonderful prayers of Paul. You could pray for your neighbors or your children or your friends. Talk it back to him. It doesn't have to be a lot of these and thous. It's talking to, like you would your husband or a friend. It's talking to God. He delights in your prayers. Alfred Lord Tennyson wrote this. Listen to this. Speak to him then, for he hears. And spirit with spirit can meet. Closer is he than breathing, and nearer than hands or feet. In the Old Testament we read, they cried unto the Lord, and he heard them. His people cried unto the Lord, and he heard them. He hasn't changed. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Until one day we reach him, there will be no more need for prayer. And which brings me to think, what is Jesus Christ doing for us even today? He's our intercessor. He's praying for us. May we join him, perhaps. Halfway, spirit meeting spirit. He delights in our prayers. Proverbs 12:22 tells us a third response he delights in. It says, he's delighted when we tell the truth. Well, now we're getting down to the really nitty-gritty here, huh? Proverbs 12 says, the Lord detests, not just dislikes, detests lying lips. But he delights in men who are truthful. Not shading the truth, not exaggerations or half lies or perhaps cheating on a test or income tax, just a little bit. He delights in the truth. And women, may we be women of truth. So if you are, and probably we are, most of us are, we're working on it. I'm still tempted in that area sometimes to just, whether it's a little bit half-truth or leave something out so it'll, a little bit of better impression will be made on somebody, on my part. I hit it yesterday. Did I open my mouth? No, but I sure will on Tuesday at school. I'm tutoring for 2 hours a day. And the teacher said to me, you are so kind for doing this. Thank you so much. And I said to her, you're welcome. And I didn't tell her I was getting paid for it. Now, I think she thinks I was doing it out of my own, you know, charitable nature. I got to make that right. Isn't that funny? Now, that wasn't a lie, but it wasn't the whole truth. If I think perhaps that she's thinking this way, I don't know. It's just, we just have to listen to our spirits and be careful, because the Lord delights in truth, because he is truth. If God wasn't truth, if we can't trust our truthfulness, we know we've taught it to our children. Our whole character, what can we say about our characters? But we still do fail and we're still tempted, but he delights when we tell the truth. And lastly, God delights in our steps. Psalm 37:23, for the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And we can't forget the next verse. Though he fall, he shall not be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Carolyn Ray, the Bible teacher here for many, many years, used to say, the steps and the stops of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Ladies, he delights in your journey. He delights, we might say, the Bible says, in my steps. Now, you may say he delights in my steps. Right now, I'm at home, homeschooling my children. And at times, I struggle. It's boring. It can be constant. I feel like maybe I'm in an emotional struggle, or perhaps the kids are in a physical struggle. I have to be there at all times. He delights in me. Yes. He delights in you. No matter what it is, God is going to honor your commitment to your children. He says he delights in you. He delights in what you have chosen to do. And no matter how terrible and how wrong it may be going, please stand on his word on Wednesday afternoon at about 1:30 and say to yourself, oh, he does delight in my journey, and I accept it by faith and I thank him. Some of you may be in situations where you go to work every day and your boss is so unappreciative and so unsupportive. Or maybe the people you have to work with can be so contentious and so unloving and so backbiting. Does God delight in my everyday steps? You know, may I say to you, wherever you go as a child of God, his fragrance, not that you smell it or feel it, but the Bible says the fragrance of Jesus himself goes into that room where you are. And you can walk in triumph. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He leads us. No, it's not chapter 5. I'm sorry. It's in Corinthians. He leads us always in triumph and makes manifest the knowledge of himself by us in every place. Home, work, wherever we are. Or maybe some of you would say, he delights in my steps. Oh, well, because of my health and my age, I can't do what I used to do. Even here, your steps are his delight. In the people you see, in the prayers you offer, in the notes you write, let me give you a wonderful promise. Psalm 92, verse 2, the righteous will flourish like the palm tree. They will bear fruit in their old age, and they will stay fresh and green. The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. That's a promise we can claim. Remember the two on the Emmaus Road when Jesus had resurrected, and these two men were talking about what had happened in Jerusalem, and all of a sudden this man appears, and they didn't recognize him as Jesus. And he began to open up the scriptures to them. And it wasn't until they broke bread, and all of a sudden they realized who he was, and he vanished. The men on the Emmaus Road. And they said these words, "Did not our hearts burn within us when he was here?" Oswald Chambers, in his devotional, Utmost for His Highest, talks about the secret of the burning heart, and this is good for all of us. He says, "We need the secret of the burning heart. Suddenly Jesus appears to us, the fires are kindled, we have a wonderful vision, and then we have to learn to keep the secret of the burning heart that will go through anything. It is the dull, bald, dreary, commonplace day with commonplace duties and people that kills the burning heart unless we have learned the secret of abiding in Jesus." We've all been there. We've been to retreats. We've been perhaps to this luncheon. And oh, we go home and we're you know, it's been so good to be with one another and to hear the Lord. And then all of a sudden, there we go back. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The secret of the burning heart. Once we've seen him, we must claim these promises. God delights in my very steps. He delights in my going out and my coming in. Ladies, believe it and claim it. So, the God of delight. If I want to delight the heart of God, I put my hope in his unfailing love for me. I pray. I speak the truth, and I acknowledge his delight and control of my very steps. We haven't even talked about our delight in God. That's a whole nother message. But oh, believe it, God delights in you. You may be in the midst of swirling waters. You may be overwhelmed by a trial or temptation that just threatens to consume you. Chances are, in a room like this, you are. There are some. The Lord doesn't always calm the waters for us. He doesn't always take away the fires around us. But he does say this. He says, "I will walk with you in it. I will uphold you with my right hand." And by faith, let's believe him. Let's take him at his word. Let's read our Bibles. And let's get a glimpse into the very heart of God, because just as he made you in his image, that is his image, only perfection personified. So that day, when we get to see him in glory, he will say, "Oh, enter now in the full joy of thy master. I'm so glad you're here." Let's pray. Could we just take a couple minutes? So often we hear messages and we say amen and we go on our way, but could we just take a couple minutes to just speak to God in and through our own hearts? Maybe we want to be sure that beyond a shadow of a doubt, he is merciful to us, a sinner. Maybe we want to praise him or worship him or request something of him. Could we do that just in the silence of these few minutes before we close? Lord, we are not afraid of the silence, for it's in the silence that we can know and be still that you are God. Thank you that you have heard every one of these ladies' prayers. We are coming to a king. Large petitions with us bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. So we thank you. We thank you for the answers. And may we leave this place today, perhaps not maybe even feeling it, but claiming it, that you delight in us and in our ways and in our steps. Thank you so much for giving your Son for us. There was nothing in us that deserved it, him, but you gave. And we thank you for it. May we get to know your heart of delight, your heart of joy for us, and your many attributes. And fathers, this week I pray that you would, in some way, bring delight from your heart to these ladies in their own little worlds. And Father, may you just flood them with the knowledge of your delight in them. And I pray it in the name, the strong name of Jesus. And Lord, now we ask that you would bless this food. We thank you that when you passed it out to your people, the 5,000, the Bible says you broke it and you blessed it. And so we follow that tradition today. We pray you would bless the food. Thank you so much for these dear ladies who have worked so hard, and I'm sure men do, to bring it to us. Thank you for all the preparation you've gone. These ones have made so that we would have a wonderful gathering today. Bless them. And bless the food, and we thank you in Jesus' precious name.